Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi.
I'm all set to go today, and I'm going to start by saying I picked a Chinese name.
Okay.
Her name is Lan.
Okay.
And it means beauty. Yeah. Okay. So that's like the best part. Now it gets the hard. Name.
Oh God. Okay. Didn't even pick an accurate name.
I picked the name because it was like probably going to be the only shining part of the show.
Okay.
It was a tough session, I'll say.
People are hitting pause to get a shot of caffeine.
Right. But I don't mean that the client was tough.
Good.
Like, and I don't mean that their behavior is, because there's all kinds of ways that you and I can refer to sessions as being tough, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Her behavior wasn't in the least. So she asks for a medium after we get through the consent process, and she asks for her mom. And her mom starts off and says, okay, I'm just going to say at the very beginning little things like just to validate, because I know you want your validations and she's going to want hers. I'm going to say things like her dad's still alive. Both of my parents have crossed over. She's not the only child. She has sisters. I also have brothers and sisters. She doesn't have any brothers. So she goes through and she just kind of really neat mm-hmm. and organized. And I really like that. So I said, oh, your mom's super organized. And when I said that, she just went, okay. And she, like, just neutral. And her mom says, I want to talk about when I passed. She says, that's the next thing. She came to see me before I died. And she says, I'm going to say that I was sick before I passed. And I said, okay, but why? What do you mean you're going to say it? Like, what does that mean? Because to me, it's like,
shit or get off the pot.
Yeah, exactly. And if you're going to use words like that, then she's piquing my curiosity. And I know, mm-hmm. I know the souls on the other side do that for a reason. Mm-hmm. So I said to her, okay, how do you want to add to that? And she said, well, she said, basically, I was sick like her whole life because I was an alcoholic. Mm. And I said, ah, I see your point. And she says, so that's where I'm going to say that I was sick, but I also got sick before I passed. And it was part of the alcoholism. But she says, so it's complicated because I'm sick for decades with alcoholism. And then it really takes its toll on my body. And it really crashes my liver, and like there's other physical things that happen. And I want to be specific about both of those things. And at that time, I also developed an issue with my lungs. And she says, so there were other complications. And then from my lungs, I developed an issue with my heart. So she says, I want you to write or say all of those things to her, please, because that'll really give her a good validation of the long-term sickness and the short-term. And she says, and really, she's here to talk to you. She wants answers about the long-term, about the alcoholism. She says, and about the way that I lived my life. And I said, okay. So I said to Lan, I'm just going to say exactly what your mom is saying. And I told her all of that. And she was like, yep. And again, she was great. She just sat there and went, I know. I listened to some of your podcasts. I know that you're looking for validations and that you want them as much as I do. And she said, so I'm just going to keep saying yes to things and just try and let it sail along nice and easy. She says, because I know you're going to get to what you call your soft messages. And I think that's really, I need to hear some of those as well. So then her mom says, well, she says, you came to see me before I passed, she says, which was remarkable given that we hadn't been talking for years. And Lan goes, mm-hmm, yes. And her mom says, you cut me out of your life, your partner, and you wouldn't let me see my grandchildren. And Lan says, yes. And her mom says to her, and you did the right thing. And Lan just sits there and looks at me and she goes, that's it.
Yeah.
She goes, that's what I came for. She goes, I can't tell you how many mediums I've gone to. She said, in person at different psychic fairs, she says, I've gone over and over again wanting to hear my mom say certain things. And she says, I keep going, waiting to hear these types of messages and I don't get them. They can tell me, yep, she had lung issues and she had hurt. And like they give me good validations, Karen, like, but they don't get to the point that where I need the things that I need to hear. So then her mom says, I want to continue talking about this. And so does she. She says, so you're just going to give her my messages. She says, she came to see me before she passed, which was a remarkable thing on her part because I gave her no good reason to come and see me. None.
That's a validation too.
Yeah.
Right? You're saying nothing changed, but you went anyway.
Very much. And she goes, she came to see me and she did not bring the children because they didn't know me. So there was no reason to do it. And she said, but I want to acknowledge that she didn't because she was actually trying to continue to protect her children from me and my behavior. And that was being a good mom.
Mm-hmm.
And when I said that to Lan, she was like, my mom just called me a good mom. And I said, yes. Would you like me to repeat? And she goes, yes, I would.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Karen, she says, if it's okay with you. I said, honey, I would love to say it to you again. You don't have to ask Karen twice. Good. I understand what you're doing. So her mom repeated herself, saying that making that decision in particular was the continuation of being a good mom in protecting her children from an alcoholic grandmother. So again, she just thanked me and she goes, okay. She goes, continue. She says, I got a little list here. She says, of things that I want to hear. She says, and I'm not testing you. These are the things I want. She says, and if you stop and ask questions, I will tell you what's on it. But otherwise, I'd like to just sit and listen to my mom. And I said, yeah, I'm going to keep going. And then you keep checking that list, making sure that we're checking it off. And if I don't, then go ahead and bring it up. So then her mom says to me, she came, I think she said something like, I think it ended up being, Kelly, like about a week before she actually passed. But she thought she was going to make it when she actually was passing because that's what the medical people had told her. You have to come now. Your mom won't make it through the rest of the day. So she went. She was there for the day. Apparently, I think she stayed like a day or two and then she had to leave because she wasn't even in the same country. So she leaves. And then her mom passes about a week after that. And she makes the decision that, no, I'm not going back for the funeral. I made the choice that I was either going for this or for this.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to be able to go while she was alive in case she was awake and aware enough that she might choose to say something to me. And she wanted to hear these things from her mom that were on this list. Like, I'm sorry, you didn't deserve to be treated this way. This was my behavior. Like, she wanted to hear a lot of things. And her mom said nothing, none of these things to her when she made the visit. So she went back home to her own country and back to her family. And when her husband asked her if she got what she needed, she said no. So her mom validates for her that she went back and that her husband asked the question because they knew what she was doing and why she was doing it and what they were both hoping for. And that she got the no answer that right to the moment of death, her mom was not going to have her, what do you call that, come to Jesus moment?
Yeah, I will argue that by another definition, she got what she needed. And I'm not saying this is what I wish for Lan. I want to be clear about that.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that if what she hoped for was the opportunity to present her mom with this opportunity to apologize if she so felt it. The absence of the apology, the absence of the regret from the human mom did actually verify in that moment that Lan made the best decisions throughout her life to go no contact. It's just an affirmation that she made a great choice. Now, it's not what she needed in order to do the healing, but it certainly is a different kind of affirmation that she made the right choice.
Yes.
So I think you could argue yes or no in that situation. And, yes. And process that there's still disappointment.
You got it. I'm just taking my moment here because you've explained to everybody a little bit of the conversation that actually happened between myself, Lan, and her mother. Mm-hmm. And the complications there where you want something, and had she got it, what those implications would have been, that, yeah, I finally got it, but then the second guessing, did I do all of these other things? And what you said, which is where Lan and her husband sat and had a conversation and said, there you go.
Yeah, she could have walked in the door and been like, I am a good mom.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
So her and her husband get to that point. They get to that understanding of, yeah, okay. And she said she also got to some other points, but let's move on. So then her mom says she wants to know why. Like, it's another big question. And I said, oh, Lynn, do you have the question why on the page? And she goes, I do. And she holds it up. And then underneath it, there's a whole bunch of bullet points, like many whys, a whole bunch of things under why. And I can't read those. She's holding the page back.
I
see why at the top. Mm-hmm. And then I can see she's got quite a few things. And I said, oh, I can't make it out, but that's okay. Put your page down.
Also, I think every bullet point could be answered by self-loathing.
Okay. Well.
You go, though. You tell the story.
Really, Kelly?
I mean, it's fun interrupting and ruining your podcast.
Constantly?
Yeah.
Every show now, I'm
You're
sure
everybody. You're still a great storyteller.
Okay, good. So her mom says, you want to know why, and I need to begin with projection. And Lan looks at me and goes, I don't even know what that means. She goes, projection what? She goes, I don't know the word. And I said, okay, it's a defense mechanism. And she goes, well, I don't even know what that is. She goes, I've never heard of defense mechanism. She says, I kind of understand it just by what you say a little bit, but she says, I'm very lost. And I said, okay, let me listen to mom for a few minutes. Let me download all of the file and then I'll be able to say it all and answer the questions. And I said, so I need a couple of minutes. So I was quiet.
Realistically, it probably took 35 seconds.
Yes,
at best.
Yes, it does. You're right. It gets better and better, but still I like to say that in podcasts so that future clients won't expect
the bar low.
Me. To do it in 3 seconds. Chop, chop. Let's go, Karen.
What you don't know is I brag about how fast you go when I'm doing all the reels. So they know.
Oh, my God. So, oh yeah, that's taken over a decade to get this fast. That's a lot of practice. So anyway, so I mom says to me, okay, you know, here's the information. She said, I want to say something and I want to begin with that I projected onto her. She says, I projected onto. And I said to Lan, okay, we're going to start with projection onto. She's saying that when she had her own feelings and behaved in certain ways where she was angry, she said, you were the one with the temper tantrums. And she goes, yes. Oh, you've got an angry looking face?
I do have an angry looking face. Thanks for catching it. This isn't answering the question why. This is answering what she did. So I'm curious to know how you're answering the question why.
Well, she starts with saying the things that she did so that Lan could understand, oh yeah, she did do that. So she starts by saying these are the behaviors and it pulls Lan into understanding and it gets her listening. So she says, I felt anger. I felt sadness. I felt certain things. And I projected those and said, you felt those things. And she says, and then I drove you crazy by saying that you did these things. And then I even told your father and your sisters that you did those things. And I gaslit everybody. And she says, I did that because I didn't know what to do with my own feelings. I didn't reach out for help. I was frustrated. I was angry. I felt rejected. I felt unworthy. I felt, and there's a lot. There are her whys. I felt this way. So I felt these things and I projected them and said, you did these things. You felt this way. And Lan would stand there and say, no, I didn't. Dad, I didn't do this. Dad, I didn't say these things. And she created so many lies in the family and triangled so much that nobody really felt that they could trust Lan. So this destroys Lan's relationships with her father mm-hmm. and destroys them with her sisters. And the answer to the why, when Lan says to me, why did she treat me like that? Like, I know she did. And I said, well, we need to explain the what and then go to the why underneath, that she herself felt these things that she said you did. Those were her things deep inside. And she went, and you could see Lynn going, wait a minute. And so I got quiet. And her mom's like, wait. She's thinking back to my childhood. She's thinking back to the things that I said about the way that I grew up. She's thinking, leave it be. Don't talk for a minute. Let her think. She's placing everything. And then Lan finally comes back and looks at me and she goes, I get this. She goes, I can think about my mom and dad talking about my mom's childhood. I can think about my aunts and uncles. I can actually place this. She goes, okay, this makes more sense to me. So now when you say my mom felt rejected, yeah, because my mom was scapegoated in her own family. She says, but then my mom turned around and did it to me. And I said, yes. And she goes, that's so messed up. And I said, yes. Nobody's saying it's not messed up. We're just answering the what and the why and a little bit of how she did some of this. Because in the session, Lan would ask a specific question about why did she say I did such and such? She would pick a particular event, Kelly, that really stuck out in her mind mm-hmm. that was a defining moment where Dad really shut her down or really stopped loving her. Where she really felt the abandonment. Mm-hmm. And the spirit guides would come in and say things to her with her mom. This is where you felt this moment when you knew that your father stopped loving you. And Lan would just look at me and she would cry. She would say, yeah, that's it. And then mom would say, I'm the one that created that. I'm the one that told your father these things and your sisters these things about you that I knew were all false, but that I was projecting onto you. And then she says, now I need to explain something else. I projected as another defense mechanism into your father in particular, because if I knew that I could go up to your father while I was feeling anger, I'm angry about something in my own life, about the way my family treated me, I'm angry. Now, I'm going to say something to your dad when you're not at, let's say she's at school. I'm going to say something to him so that I can place my anger in him. So I'll say something to him about you that I know is going to make him in a rage about you. And I know that it isn't true. It doesn't matter that it's not true. I'm trying to alleviate my feelings of anger.
By outsourcing them to another person.
Yes. So I can easily say something to your father that I know is going to put him in a rage about you. And as soon as he starts to feel his feelings of rage, I can take a deep breath and let go because he's feeling them. And as you said, Kelly, outsourcing them, which is projection into another. And she says, Lan, I outsourced my anger and all of my feelings into your father constantly. It was our codependence. And then he directed that and he let his out because he has to release it or feels he needs to. He lets it out on Lan. So mom comes in to say, I used projection onto and into on two different people on a daily, sometimes hourly, sometimes by the minute basis. I created constant chaos and disorganization in a family that was totally unhealthy. Mm-hmm. So, and the mom in particular shows up to say, I did this. I orchestrated all of this stuff because I refused therapy. I refused to read a book, listen to a podcast. I refused to do anything that would get me healthier. And then on top of all of that, I drank. So once your father started screaming at you, I couldn't stand the feelings that I was feeling because I caused all of this. So as I saw your heart break as a little child and your father's heart break as he stops loving you because he's angrier and angrier, I can't stand my feelings of guilt and shame. And that was the key. I'm avoiding my shame and guilt. And guilt means because I am at fault. So I drink because of the guilt. And that's when Lan sat there and went, that's it right there. That's it. That's what I came here for. That's it. That's the sentence. We're done. And I said, we're done? Do you mean you're done the session? No. She says, I guess I'm talking out loud, but I just mean that I'm done. I finally got it. I finally got all the puzzle pieces.
Your page is complete.
Yeah. She goes, I got finally all of the answers and right from my mom. And she says, Karen, I needed this so badly for that little girl in me that didn't understand the dad screaming at me when I didn't do anything. And feeling the disconnect with my own father. She said, for no reason. So I always looked within myself to say what was wrong with me. Mm-hmm. And I said, yes, that would become your defense mechanism called introversion. And she goes, I don't even know what that means. Is it like an introvert? Because I do like my time by myself. And I said, no, it's not introvert. It's introversion. It's a defense mechanism. And I said, it's where you make everything about you. She goes, well, why wouldn't I make everything about me? I can't understand a damn thing that's going on in that mess, in that family. And I'm always being blamed. So if I'm being blamed, how would I not make it about me?
Yeah, but every little kid is egocentric, right? And just simply because they are completely dependent on adults. So that's the way we come into the world is 100% dependent. And it's our job to individuate from our parents, right? And gain a bigger worldview. So if you line up all the siblings, if each one of them gets blamed, each one of them is going to develop their own unique worldview to make sense of what's happening around them. So if one child, being Lan, simply reverts, or not reverts, but defaults to, okay, something must be wrong with me if I'm getting blamed, the very next sibling might be sitting there going, okay, I don't like being blamed, so I'm going to figure out how to do things perfectly so that I can avoid the criticism that's coming. So I'll anticipate all the criticism that could come my way, say it to myself first and do better so that the criticism doesn't come from someone else. Right? They're each potentially getting blamed. Now, I recognize that didn't happen in the family, but I'm just illustrating how different siblings, technically raised in the same household, but never really experiencing the same parents, all have slightly different approaches or their own defense mechanisms to survive their environment. Lan's, as far as she thought, worked to think, okay, what's wrong with me? Right? That's going to help me troubleshoot if I ask that question. And then I just gave one other example as to how someone is troubleshooting.
Thank you. Then her mom, at that point in the session when Lan says, like, I'm done, she says, yeah, she says, gratefully you got done with me. And Lan goes, say that again.
Mm-hmm.
And I repeat it again from her mom. She goes, my mom is saying that? And I said, yes, Lan, because it can't come from me. Like, I don't know you and I don't know your mom, right? And she goes, right, like this. She goes, yeah, I got to get my head back in the game that you're saying these words from my mom. And I said, yes, it's very important that you keep remembering that. And I will keep reminding you. And I said, so mom comes in and says to her, you individuated and left like at 17 years old. When it was time to go out the door to go to college or university or get a job, it was like goodbye and goodbye for good. I got to go. So Lan hears from her mom how she's beginning that individuation when she hits around 17 to 18 years old. And then when Lan picks this partner, this man that she's married to and has children with, she explains her childhood and her partner, which Lan does confirm in the session with me. She picks a partner that stands there and says, then I support your healthiness and I support your individuation from your mom. And as a result from that and the decisions that your dad has made in his life to be codependent with your mother, I support your decision. And we will raise our children without them as grandparents. We will find other people in the community that will fill that role. It's just going to be, they'll enjoy other people, but we will pick them and they will be healthy people. So they can still have grandparents, just not biological ones.
Mm-hmm.
And so Lan looks at me and she goes, this is like the cherry on the cake. She says, to hear my mom come in and to answer my questions, to give me those puzzle pieces to help me understand, to also know that her soul is aware of these conversations with my partner and the choices that we made out of healthiness, she said, is beautiful to hear that my mom is aware of all of those things. And it wasn't out of a lack of trying to love my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Or out of a lack of wishing that my parents had been healthier people that I could have included in my life as Lan on Earth. She said, this is wonderful. She says, and I'm good. And I said, well, how's your page? And she goes, my page is wonderful. She says, I can sit and go through some of the other maybe one or two points at the very bottom and do my own work now with what you've given me.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really beautiful, Kelly. Not necessarily like somebody saying, oh, Karen didn't get it all right. She didn't get everything, every point on her page.
Well, those are two different things.
Exactly.
Not having enough time to get to all the points is not you not getting it right.
Right. And giving the person what they need so that they can actually go through the rest of their points on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Because they now have their own answers, is also getting the whole page done in a different kind of way, but it's still doing the same job.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the session, Lan said to me, this is the conversation I was looking for. And when I listened to your podcast and I listened to the Instagram reels, I realized when you said to Kelly in one of the reels, I don't remember which one, you said something about that this is a relationship with the other side, that this isn't just about spewing out facts, or I can't remember what was said, but
mm-hmm.
She goes, when you said that, that's when I booked the appointment. That's when it was like, I got to keep this and I got to go, because she's actually in conversation. This isn't about random facts coming in and you spewing out blue or, you know, blue eyes, brown hair or whatever it is. She said, you're actually in conversation. And she said, that's why I booked. I needed the conversation.
Lovely.
Mm-hmm.
I was, I don't know. You set that up not well.
Oh.
I think that was a great session.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks for the story.
I'll change my mind then.
Okay. Thank you for listening to Coffee with the Sarlows. If you enjoyed the show today, please be sure to subscribe on your podcast platform and leave a review. New shows will air every other Saturday.